Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for your love for us. We do thank you that we can meet here today freely. We could open up your word and we can learn from it. We just ask now that you'll bless these words, Lord. Help them not to be mine, but to be yours. And I just pray that you help each of us to have open hearts, that we will just listen to your word today, and we will just be called to action. We will respond to your word. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'm a big sports fan, in case you haven't noticed before. And, you know, I was really excited at the beginning of the summer because my team, the Golden State Warriors, won the NBA championship. And if you know, if you're a Warriors fan, you know anything about the Warriors, they've stunk for many, many years. And it's just great to see them get to that point. But if you watch any sporting event, maybe it's not that, but you always notice the coach giving the pep talk before the game. Some of you might be wondering, why do they do that? They've practiced, they all know what they're supposed to do. They should be motivated, especially by the time they're in the championship, to play hard, right? But yet, you see a coach get up there and give them a pep talk before the game. You know, sometimes people need extra motivation, you know. I don't know why. Some people, they get distracted, and maybe they need to be refocused. Sometimes they just need reminders, because when you get put under pressure, you kind of forget what to do. Well, it's the same thing in the Christian life. You know, why do we keep reading the Bible over and over? We've already read it. Why do we keep coming to church and hearing sermons? Well, what we need this. We are put out into life every day, and we are under pressure. We are called to respond and react to different things that come our way. Now, when it comes to following God, we have different reactions. I'm going to be looking at four different reactions today to following God, to living for Him, to living the Christian life. Sometimes we say, I can't do it. I can't. Sometimes we'll say, I can do it. Sometimes we say, I won't do this. I will not do this. Or sometimes we say, I will. I will follow God. So after we get saved, you know, we come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's not it. We aren't magically transported into heaven. God leaves us here on this earth for a reason. We are here. You know, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, or 8 and 9 we're familiar with, right? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We are saved through faith. It's a gift. But yet, look at verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God doesn't want us just to come to Him and be saved. He wants us to walk in good works. That does not save us, but that's how we should live. We should live in the Lord, we should follow Him, and God prepared beforehand that we should walk in this. That's what He desires of us, our walk, our Christian life. After we get saved, how do we live? Do we live for Him? I'm going to give you a few different verses, and then I'll have you turn to a passage. Luke 9:23. Then He said to them, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. You know, we're going to be Christians. That does not mean that life is going to be all great things. It's not going to be dessert all the time. We have to go through the tough times. It's going to be tough sometimes. I mean, taking up your cross and following Christ, that doesn't make the Christian life sound like real easy, does it? It's not. There's trials that come your way. There's temptations. There's hard things. There's also good things too, isn't there? But we need to have this desire to take up this cross and follow Him. So we are to follow God. We are to serve Him. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God bought us. Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived the perfect life. He died on the cross. He rose again and conquered sin and death for us, to save us from our sins, that we can be in heaven with Him for eternity. But we need to remember that. We have been bought with a price. God paid this ultimate sacrifice by sending His only begotten Son into this world for us. So according to that verse, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They're not ours. Many times when we make decisions, we think we own ourselves. We think we're the boss. We might not say that out loud, but the way we think shows what we believe in our hearts. Are we willing to yield and follow God with our lives? Another reason that the Lord has us here, Ephesians 4:12, it's talking about pastors and teachers, for, that they are supposed to be for equipping the saints, but listen to this next part, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. The saints, that's the believers, not the pastor, not the teachers. That's talking about everyone else that's saved that comes to church. You're here for the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is the whole body. It's all of us working together for God. And that's why we have pastors and teachers to equip us that we can do it too. You know, they're here to train us. And then we're here also then to follow God, to fulfill His will in our lives. Romans 12:1-2, I'm sure you're familiar with this passage. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. We're supposed to present our bodies to the Lord, a living sacrifice. He sacrificed for us His life. We're supposed to live for Him. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to live out the perfect will of God, and that comes from the renewing of our minds. We get our minds right, then we can get our actions right, and we can follow Him. A couple more verses. 1 Samuel 12:24. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things He has done for you. I mean, think about that. Consider what the great things God has done for you. I mean, first of all, we have the salvation we've already mentioned, but think about all the blessings that you have in your life. I mean, you live in America. You have so much. I mean, think about other countries out there. They don't have what we have. We've been blessed. We have, you know, roofs over our heads. We have plenty of money. You might not think you have a lot of money, but, you know, go compare yourself to some other nations, some other people out there. You have so much that God has given you. You know, we need to remember that He has given us so many great things, so we need to fear Him and serve Him in truth. And the truth that we find is in the Word of God. Philippians 1:27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you may stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Paul here is talking about, I'm trying to come and visit you Philippians at your church. I want to know that you're serving the Lord. Even if I don't come, I still want to know that you're serving the Lord. You know, sometimes we get in this mentality that we only kind of do our best and right when we're being watched. You know, I recently saw a commercial, maybe some of you, I think it's a Geico commercial. They're torturing this guy in the chamber, and the boss comes in, and they all look all serious. The guy's on the rack, you know. And then as soon as the boss leaves, well, he flips over. They're playing ping pong. He's the net, and they're playing ping pong. And they says, you only work hard when the boss is there, that's what we do. And it's sad, but as Americans, that is what we do, isn't it? You know, we only work hard, or we only look spiritual at church when everyone's here with us. How are we living when we're away from here, away from the other Christians, away from the pastor? Are we serving the Lord, or are we just kind of putting on a show for everyone else to say, hey, that guy's spiritual? So what are we doing? Now, our first reaction when we're confronted with the Word of God and how are we going to live for Him is, I can't do it. I can't do it. You could go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter 3. We're going to take a look at Moses. God called Moses to complete a task, to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now, that's a pretty big task. So God, you know, came in a burning bush. He spoke to Moses. And Moses' first reaction we find in is Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Okay, so here's his first reaction, right? I can't do it. You know, that's actually a good reaction at first for all of us. Really, we can't do what God has called us to do in our own strength. Because if God's giving you tasks, oh yeah, I got this, I'm good, you know, you can't walk around proud and arrogant and serve God. You should feel unworthy to complete God's task in your life. That should be your first reaction, but that shouldn't be your only reaction. God has come, he's called us, he wants us to complete a task for him. Moses had a big task. He said, well, what do I do? Who do I say sent me? You know, he's asking these questions. Then God laid out his whole plan for him. I'm not going to take time and read the whole story, but God told him exactly what's going to happen. You're going to go in, you're going to speak to Pharaoh, I'm going to lead you out, he's not going to listen, I'm going to have to, you know, smite them. All these things are going to happen, and God told him exactly what was going to happen. And look at chapter 4, verse 1. I mean, you think after hearing that, it's like, yes, the Lord's with me, let's do this. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. I mean, imagine this. God has already come. He's already told him the whole plan. And he's still like, wait, I can't do this. Okay, now he's getting to the point where, okay, it's good not to feel, you know, like, oh yeah, I'm going to go do this. Now he's really starting to, wait, God had already explained this. He's not trusting God now. He's not trusting. So he's still saying, I can't. Maybe he's fearful. I'm not sure exactly what's causing this, but he's saying he can't. And then skip ahead to verse 10. You know, God, once again, he gave him some more signs that he can do, that he can show the people. Verse 10. Then Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. But he said, O my Lord, please send by the hand to whomever else you may send. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well, and look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So here, once again, Moses is saying, I can't do it. He's coming up with excuses. Maybe we come up with excuses why we can't follow God, why we can't serve him with all of the ability he's given us. And we come up with excuses. But yet, God here, he didn't quit on Moses, and he won't quit on you. God keeps encouraging. He keeps sending him, you know, you can do this. Here's another sign. Well, you know, your brother will be there to help you. And it, once again, he said, I will be with your mouth. Sometimes we think, I can't witness to people. I don't know what to say. I can't. Who has made your mouth? Right? God has made your mouth. Does God want us to witness to people? He does. So if you say, I can't, you're not believing God. Because God has made your mouth. He wants you to share. Just share your testimony. How God saved you. I mean, you could at least do that. Get a tract. Give him a tract. Maybe even just memorize a tract. We have the Word of God, guys. We can do it. We can. But yet, we say we can't. Now, many of you, you know, that have children, or, you know, you teach children, you probably hear, especially children, but adults say this too, I can't do it, right? You ever hear someone say that? I can't do it. And most of the times when they say they can't do it, either A, they haven't tried it yet, because they just looked at it, it looks too hard, I can't do it, right? And, or they put in the most minimal effort possible, and it didn't happen for them, right? You know, maybe you try to build a model, and you're like, oh, it fell apart, oh, I quit, I can't do it, right? And you don't even try hard. You don't even give it your all. I mean, who are we say we can't follow God? Does God desire us to follow him? Yes. Does God want us to do his will? Yes. So we really can't use this excuse, I can't. Well, yes, you can. You need to work hard. You need, you know, whether you're scared or you think you might fail, get over that, guys. That's sin. We need to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. We need to follow him with everything that we have. Colossians 3:23 is one of my favorite verses. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. If you go about your day thinking, I'm going to work hard to please my Lord, and don't worry about what other people are thinking, you'll do much better. you'll serve him much more faithfully. Because we get so caught up on what everyone else is thinking about us. We forget, what is God thinking of us? And how can I work hard for him? And that brings us to our next reaction, is I can follow God. That's a good thing, because we know Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Christ gives us the strength. He can help you with any task that he's laid in front of you. Philippians 2:13 also says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." Now that should be an encouragement. Did you catch that? It is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. God's working in you. He's not leaving you on your own saying, "Go do this." He's saying, "I will give you strength. I am working in you." And when Jesus went into heaven, he said the Comforter will come, the Holy Spirit. We have God's Spirit. If we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, we have God's Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. He's helping us. He can strengthen us. He can encourage us. He's there to help us accomplish God's will. So we should have the attitude, yes, that we can serve God. Not because we're so great, not because we're proud and we have so many gifts and abilities. No, it's because God's working in us. I can do it because of God. So we can do this. We can complete any task that God has called us to do because of him, not because of us. Now, maybe, you know, when I teach, sometimes kids don't understand something. They don't get it. And you ever hear the phrase, you know, the light bulb comes on? Maybe that's happened to you. And when that light bulb comes on, you see their face go, and they smile. They get it. They get it. You know, maybe you have children and you've seen them do it. Or sometimes it does. We light bulb comes on for us sometimes too. And we're like, oh, I get it now. And it makes you feel good that we get this. This light bulb comes on. When this light bulb comes on, it should give us confidence. And we're talking about this confidence that God is working in us. It is God's power, God's strength that will help us to follow him faithfully. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." When we get saved, isn't it great that all those old things that we were caught up in, they're gone. They're passed away. They're washed under the blood of Christ, and we can now be a new creation serving the Lord. And one of the, you know, examples from the Bible that we see is Paul. You know, he was out persecuting Christians, and yet when he got saved, he did a 180. He's now praising God, serving God, telling others about God, and he's being persecuted. But yet he's still standing up for his faith. And he called himself the chief of sinners. But yet we see he wrote much of the New Testament. He served God with his whole heart. Yeah, am I Paul? No. Are you Paul? No. But you don't need to be. We have the same God, the same Holy Spirit. We can serve God just as effectively by just being willing to follow and saying, I can do this through Christ. I can. The Word of God should give you confidence. Not your own ability, the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You guys, the Word of God, it's inspired. It's God's Word. We are given that through the Bible, that we know this Bible is inspired. It's God's words, not man's words. And it's profitable for us. Why? In verse 17, we can be complete. That means mature. Mature in the Lord. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. So if you don't think you can, guys, pick up the Word of God and study. Because the more you read, the more you see God working in others in the Bible, the promises of God being fulfilled in the Bible, the promises of God to the believers, you will be equipped to serve him. You can do it because God's word promises that you can. Trust him. And it also, the Bible gives us many examples to follow. 1 Corinthians 10:11. "Now all these things happened as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom all the ends of the ages have come." You know, there's examples in the Bible for us to follow. We can read of all the different times that things happened. You know, also in Hebrews, we have the Hall of Faith chapter, right? We can see all these different people, Old Testament, New Testament, that lived for God and how God worked in their lives. God gave them strength. You know, we even think about Gideon. You guys remember Gideon? He had trouble trusting. He was nervous. He was scared. And he prayed that God would give him a sign. You know, now, does God always give signs like that? No, not always, but he can. But Gideon, eventually, he saw God was working. He heard God's word. He knew God was true, and he followed God. And eventually, he took 300 men against a whole army with pitchers, right? And torches and trumpets and okay. He followed God in a situation that made no human sense going to battle because of God's word. And he trusted God's word. And maybe you're thinking, well, I don't know if I can because it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't have to make sense to you. That's the beautiful thing about God's word. We just need to trust. Have faith. You know, faith in the things not seen, guys. It's easy to believe what you can see right in front of your face. It's hard to have faith and believe when you don't see what's going on. You know? And God's will for us. We don't always know what God's will is for us. But, you know, I've heard it say God's will is like a flashlight in a dark room. It's not a light switch. Because God reveals just the next step, the next couple steps for you. He doesn't show you the whole plan. Because if we knew the whole plan for our life, it wouldn't take much faith, would it? We know, oh yeah, I'm going to wind up there. That's what's going to happen. Yeah. Right? But it's faith when you step forward knowing, okay, this is where God wants me. I don't know where the next step's coming, but I know this is my step now. You can. You can follow God. It's important that we have that attitude that we can follow God. We can live for God. We can do this. Have that strength. Now, the third one is the worst reaction. I won't. There are people out there that will say, I won't. I won't do that. I won't follow God. I won't do this. I won't serve Him. And like I said, a lot of times this isn't something they'll say out loud. You know, they won't go around saying, oh yeah, I won't go out and serve the Lord. You know, they're not going to say that to you probably. Some people may. And we're talking people in church. We're not talking, you know, the people out in the unsaved world that aren't following God at all, aren't in church. We're talking people that could be in this building or other buildings just like this around town today that say, you know, I won't do this. I won't. We can make the wrong choice about living for the Lord by saying, I won't. That's the wrong choice. Now, there are many reasons that people may give for not following the Lord's will. They're all bad, though. Some people won't follow God's will because it's not easy. Remember we talked about that, taking up your cross and following God? Some people want the Christian life to be easy. So as soon as hard things come, I won't do it anymore. It's too hard. It's not easy anymore. I won't follow God. Some people won't do it because it's not popular. You know? If the media doesn't agree with it, well, we can't do it now, right? I got to go with the popular thing. Whatever the media says, I believe, right? No, it should be whatever God says you believe. Just because something is not popular doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. It matters what God's word says. And that's what we need to hold, God's word. So we might say, I won't do this because it's not popular, instead of what God says. You guys never put what is popular above what God says. That will lead you straight to sin and destruction. It's not good. Also, you might have an excuse. It's not as fun. It's not as fun to follow God's will. I want to go out and I want to party it up. I want to go and I want to skip church and go out and go fishing all Sunday. And you might have all these things that you want to do because they're fun. And all these things could be fun. But really, are we going to put fun above God? You know, remember, we've been bought with a price. We need to glorify God with our lives. And we will put fun above God. But there are two types of people that will say, I won't. The first is the unsaved. And you might be saying, wait, I thought you were talking about people in church. You know, it's sad to say, but there are people in church that might not be saved. There are people that could come every Sunday that might not know Christ as their Savior. Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23 say this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, these are really sad verses when you think about it. Sometimes people, they really aren't saved. They may have said a prayer, you know, because sometimes we think saying this magical prayer saves us. It's not saying a magical prayer. For by grace you've been saved through faith. It's your faith, your belief. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior? Do you trust Him with your whole heart, only in Him, not your good works, not anything else, not church attendance, not baptism? Do you trust only in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you believe that? You know, we need to make confession with the mouth, but that's not what saves you. You're just confessing what you're believing in your heart. We confess. It's not the words that save you, guys. It's the belief in your heart. Do you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior with your whole heart? And in the verse, they all talked about these people. Well, haven't we served you, God? There are people that they could come to church. They could be more faithful than people that are saved. They could even help out, minister in the church. They could do many different things. But yet, if you don't believe Jesus Christ is your Savior and trust Him with your whole heart, it's worthless. It's meaningless. Our service does not matter if we're not saved. So we need to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Some people get scared and they pray a prayer and they think getting saved is a fire escape from hell. And there are people that think, oh, I said this prayer, I'm going to heaven, now I can live how I want. And that's what people think sometimes. And they think we're going to, you know, just saying this prayer is going to save them. It's a belief and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. We need to do this. I mean, imagine, you know, you go to work, you know, tomorrow you go to work and your boss gives you some jobs to do. And you say, I'm not going to do that. Just tell you, I don't feel like doing that today. I don't want to do that. And you just keep telling him all day. Every time your boss says something, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. Well, he's probably not going to be your boss very long, right? You're probably not going to be there very long because when you're an employee, you're expected to do what the employer wants you to do, right? I mean, you signed up for a job. You have a job description. Well, guys, we have a job description as Christians, don't we? You know, if you're truly saved, God won't kick you out of heaven. I know that. But many people that aren't willing to follow God probably don't know Him as Savior in the first place. That's what I'm getting at here. Sometimes we deceive ourselves. If we don't have that heart to follow God, we might want to look back and say, do I really know Him? Do I really know Him as my Savior? But the second type, you could be a backslidden Christian. You know, there are people that are backslidden. You know, there are times when we're serving the Lord. James 2:17, I forgot to mention that. It says, thus also by faith itself, if it does not have works, is dead. That goes once again. If you're not showing, you know, there's no fruit in your life, you might not be saved. Or you could be backslidden. There are people in the Bible that were backslidden. They were not serving the Lord. You could think of Lot, you know. Lot was not living for the Lord, but yet the Bible calls him a righteous man. You know, we can trust Christ as our Savior. We can know Him, but yet then we could get caught up in sin. There's a man in the New Testament. He was a man that was with Paul. He wasn't mentioned many times in the New Testament, but he was with Paul. He is mentioned in a letter, but there's a second time he's mentioned in 2 Timothy 4:10. His name is Demas. It says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world and departed for Thessalonica. You know, this was a man that was ministering with Paul, but yet because he loved this present world, the pleasures, he left Paul because he loved the world so much. We can become backslidden because we love the world. We love other things more than we love the Lord. And that's something we have to watch out for in our lives. We need to love God. We need to show Him that we love Him. We need to do this because He's done so much for us. Remember, I mentioned all those verses at the beginning of how He's saved us, what He expects of us, how He's empowered us, and all these things we have. So if you're backslidden today, maybe, yeah, you do know Christ as your Savior, but you're just not living the way you should. You keep saying, I can't or I won't way too much, and you're not following God. You know what the good news is? You can get right back on track with God. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this is talking to believers. You guys, when we sin, we're still supposed to confess to God and ask forgiveness. And we could get right back on that path of serving Him. So if we've kind of backslidden away from God today, maybe you're thinking, you know, I'm not doing what I should. You know what? You can get back on track today. And God will cleanse it. He won't hold it against you. You can get right back on track serving the Lord, following Him faithfully. Just confess. Ask forgiveness. And He will give you that forgiveness. And He will then empower you to serve Him and to just be a blessing to other people. And then finally we get to the best choice. I will. Now you might be thinking, wait, I can and I will are kind of similar. You know, there is a difference there. And I will get to that difference. We realize that we can serve the Lord is not enough, right? We need to take what we know and do it. James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Just because you know what to do doesn't mean you're going to do that. That's what I'm getting at, this I will. A lot of us, we realize I can. And I know, I mean, how many times have we sat in a sermon? I've done this before. And you hear something good. I can do this. Yeah, I can make that change. And then we go out and we don't do it. Right? I mean, it's happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to some of you too. I can do this. And then you don't do it. Just because you realize I can do it, then you got to do it. I will. I will, Lord. I will do this. I will go out and I will serve you. Romans 12:6-8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in the proportion of our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. The reason I read that is because God has given each one of us gifts. They're differing. We're all the body of Christ, but we all have different gifts. Let's use them. Let's not just say, I can do this. Oh, I know God's given me this ability. Do it. Use your ability. Go out and use that ability to serve Him. Colossians 1:28-29. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. We're supposed to be trying to present every man perfect. That means present them mature in Christ. We are to do that. And then to this end, I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. He's laboring. He's working, but it's Christ that's working in and through Him. And this, that's Paul talking again. We can do this. We're called to help each other. We're all here part of the body of Christ. Let's encourage and strengthen each other. Let's work together in serving the Lord. You know, make your choice and live it. Make your choice today. Make your choice that I will live like a Christian. I will serve Christ. I will follow Him. I will share His word. Make the decision today and go out and do it. You know, we talked about the beginning, right? The pep talk. Well, I'm sure all these players know what they're supposed to do. Yeah, I can dribble. I can shoot. I can pass the ball, right? Guys, we do the same thing. We all know we can follow the Lord. We all know we can read the Bible. We can learn from it. Now we gotta do it. So I guess today it's my pep talk to you for living the Christian life. We're all in here. This is our locker room. We're all going to go out those doors at the end of the day. How are we going to live? Are we going to go out determined to follow God, giving our all? Or are we just going to kind of go through the motions? You know, when you go through the motions in a sporting event, you usually lose. When you go through the motions in the Christian life, you will lose. You will wind up in sin. You will wind up losing blessings, not seeing God work in your life the way that you should, because you're not trying. You're not giving it your all. We need to make a decision today that we will serve God. Sometimes you think you can't do it, but realize through God's promises, you can through Him. You can through Him. Even if you think, I won't, get over that, guys. Get rid of your sin. And be an I will Christian. Be an I will Christian. So we know what to do. Let's go out and follow Christ's example to the best of our ability that He's given us. Through Christ, we can do all things. Joshua 24:15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That was a great pep talk that Joshua gave. You guys, that's something we need to take to heart. I hope each one of us are determined to leave here and say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Are you going to go out today and serve the Lord? Or are you going to go right back into what you were doing before? Make a commitment today that I will do everything that I can to serve God. I will live for Him. And when you're tempted to doubt, read the Bible. Read His promises. Pray for strength. God will give that strength. And when you're backslidden, turn back to the Lord. And today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, He's waiting for you.